We trust that we will all receive a blessing from the Lord this evening. My purpose is to finish the Psalm 34. As last time, there was 22 verses in Psalm 34. I believe I covered 11 of them. Well, turn to Psalm 34, please, and keep your finger there, and we'll read a few verses back in 1 Samuel. Because the title of Psalm 34 says, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Achish, or Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. So we go back to the story in 1 Samuel. I won't read the whole passage, but in 1 Samuel I'll select a few scriptures here. And then we'll also read in Psalm 56 a few verses. Because in Psalm 56, the title of that one is To the Chief Musician. It says, Michtam of David when the Philistines took him in Gath. So we'll start reading in 1 Samuel 21, a few verses. David is fleeing from Saul, the king, his father-in-law. It says, Then David came to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, Why are you alone, no man with thee? And David said to Ahimelech the priest, The king has commanded me a business, and has said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. And we'll skip down to verse 10. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is this not David, the king of the land? Did not they sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his ten thousands? And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them, and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the door of the gate, and let spittle fall down upon his beard. And Achish said unto his servants, Lo, you see, the man is mad. Wherefore have you brought him to me? Have I need of a madman, that you've brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. A few verses in Psalm 56. This is a song of David. When the Philistines took him into Gath, first few verses say, Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fights daily, oppresses me. My enemies would swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O you Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. Verse 8. You tell my wanderings. Put you my tears in your bottle? Are they not in your book? When I cry unto thee, then I shall know my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For you have delivered my soul from death. Will not you deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? And Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desires life and loves days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart, and saves such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him, shall be desolate. Let's bow and pray. Father in heaven, as we look into your word, we trust we will receive a blessing. Father, help us not to be hearers of the word, but doers. Not to be hearers only, deceiving ourselves, but doers. Father, change us and mold us into the image and of the Lord Jesus. In his precious name. If you take anything away from this meeting tonight, Christian, is that the Lord hears. The Lord hears if you're a Christian. At work, I was overhearing a conversation, and a son was saying to one of the residents, "I'm going to Mass." And the resident said, "Well, pray for me." And the son said, "Well, God doesn't hear me anyway." And I, with the other resident that I was with, who I think is a believer, I said to her, "How sad is that? Going to church and knowing that the Lord doesn't hear. And if he isn't a believer, the Lord doesn't hear." He is true. It's true. If he's not a believer, the Lord doesn't hear. But as a Christian, the Lord hears, as we'll see many times in this psalm. The Lord hears his beloved children. May we all trust. May everyone here know that you're a beloved child of God. May you have that confidence that you're God's child. I'm going to fast forward. I'm going to go through verse by verse, but I'm going to do the first 11 verses kind of in a fast forward as I spoke on it the last time. As a introduction, we saw in 1 Samuel that David, he made some mistakes and that the Lord saved him. And we took the lesson that when we make mistakes, the Lord doesn't leave us. And a few verses that we talked about in 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, if we fail the Lord, it says that he remains faithful, that God remains faithful when we are faithless. He cannot deny himself. And Romans 2 is the goodness of God leads us to repentance. And where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And the Bible makes it very clear. Are we to sin that grace may abound? Should we just keep on sinning so that God's grace is more magnified? The Bible makes it very clear. God forbid, if you have that kind of thinking, God forbid it that you have that thinking. Perish the thought. That is a wrong attitude to have, that we just keep on sinning so that God's grace is more magnified. God forbid. But where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And we thought about failure as the back door to success. And sometimes we have to take a step backward to take two steps forward, just to realize just how great the God's love is. And Psalm 86:15 says, "But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy and truth." We saw some of the failures of David in 1 Samuel 21 is that he lied. And that had some serious consequences. We'll talk about the tongue. That the priest gave him some food. That he took Goliath's sword. Even though that David once said that the Lord does not save with sword or spear. He said that to Goliath. He took his sword. He'd come to realize at the end of the story that he'd be humbled and humiliated near the end when he had to pretend to be insane. He felt like he had to be someone like someone else, that he would come to realize that the Lord doesn't save. Once again, he was humbled and he realized the Lord doesn't save with sword or spear or clever thinking. We thought about last time that we were saved by grace, but we're not saved from disgrace, and that we can really mess things up. So in the Christian life is very serious. We should sober walk. And that he goes, David went to Gath, Goliath's hometown. We thought that he pretended to be insane, and that the Lord, Achish, the king, there was no reason why he really let David go. David realized that it was the Lord that moved his heart to let him go. This was an enemy of Israel, and he had the future king of David in his hands. He should have, in all human thinking, that he should have killed David right then and there. But the Lord moved his heart just to let him go. And David, at some point, cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard and saved him. In Psalm 34, David says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Praising the Lord at all times. Just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amongst work, amongst unbelievers at work, get in the habit of praising the Lord at all times. Just praise the Lord. "My soul shall make its applaud in the Lord," or boast in the Lord. "The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." That new, I've, since last time, I found out that another word for boast would be applaud, and I just like that thought. "My soul shall applaud in the Lord. I will magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out in desperation, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Another example is in 2 Chronicles 18:31. I'll turn there. 2 Chronicles 18:31. This is Jehoshaphat, and he gets himself in a jam because of his own. He joined affinity with Ahab, wicked Ahab, and it's a picture of being joined to the world, making friends with the world. And Jehoshaphat, because of his own error, it says here, it came to pass, the captains of the chariots of Syria, their enemies, this is a battle going on, and the captains of the chariots of Syria saw Jehoshaphat, and they said, "It is the king of Israel." Therefore, they compassed about him to fight. There we go. Jehoshaphat's a dead man. He's surrounded. That's it. And it's his own fault. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him. The Lord will do that for you. And saved him out of all his troubles. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them. In 2 Kings 6, we have a beautiful picture of this. Again, Syria is out to get Elisha. Second Kings 6:13, and he said, this is the Syrians say this, "Go and spy where Elisha is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore sent he horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. So Elisha is being surrounded. This is a whole army against him. And the servant of the man of God rose early and gone forth, and behold, a host compassed the city with horses and chariots, and his master said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" They're dead. There's no hope for them, right? And Elisha said, and he answered, "Fear not, they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray you open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And sometimes we feel outnumbered, sometimes we feel weak and defeated, but God is for us, Christian. God is for you. The angel of the Lord encamps round about those that fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Taste and see that the Lord is gracious. And just believe in the Lord. Just trust in the Lord. Jesus would say in John 7:17, if anyone does his will, I should read it word for word. Jesus says, John 7:17, if anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak of my own authority. If you do his will, you will know that it's true. What is the will of God? In the chapter before that, John 6:28, the Jews were saying to Jesus, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" What do I need to do the works of God? How can I make myself present myself to God? How can I be accepted before God? And Jesus would say, "This is the work of God, that you may believe on him whom he has sent." This is the work of God, that you may believe in him whom he has sent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the work of God. And that God is satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ's work. Verse 9, "Fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to them that fear him." Fear the Lord, you his saints. And I thought of a question of is there a fear of God amongst God's people? Is there a fear of God? It's an exhortation for the saints. And it's amazing to think that if you're saved, if you've trusted, if you've received, if you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, if he's your Lord and Savior, you are a saint. God calls you a saint. You are separated for his use. You're sanctified. You are a saint. And if you don't, if you're not set apart for his use, and if you haven't surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus after you're saved, if you haven't given him your life to be used by God, if you haven't done that, if your life hasn't changed from before you've trusted in the Lord and after, there's something wrong. Something wrong there. There's a disconnect. Something that's a warning bell, like if your life is the same before or after you've trusted the Lord. As in Romans 12, that Paul would say, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Fear the Lord. And there's a lot in Psalm 34 about fearing the Lord. Remember that the Apostle John, when he saw the Lord in Revelation, that he fell on his face as a dead man. We'll talk about the fear of the Lord. And the second half of Psalm 34 has like characteristics of someone that really fears the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. Christian, we are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You'll stand before God. Does that make you fear in your daily life? You're going to stand before him, give an account for your short life down here. Fear the Lord, you his saints. There's no want to them that fear him. Verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Verse 11, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. Again, the fear of the Lord, and teaching children the fear of the Lord. And a verse comes to mind is Solomon's last words in Ecclesiastes. You think of one of the wisest men, if not the most wise man on earth besides the Lord Jesus. His last words, what would he have to say to us in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Every secret thing. Fear God and keep his commandments. Of course, the number one commandment is to believe on the one whom God has sent, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is number one. That's getting right with God. Fear God and keep his commandments. Have you ever been in the presence of someone who puts the fear of God into you? Wouldn't you like to be that kind of person? I've been in presence of people they don't have to say anything and you're trembling, like they put the fear of God into you. And that's David's desire for when he passes it on to others. He wants to teach people the fear of the Lord. And think of David, that he was going to be the king, and him you could say descending to children, to children's level, like you speak into children and how important that is. And that's something to remind ourselves with, that remember Jesus would say, let the little children come and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Let the little children come. The four, I read about four types of fear. One, when we fear to commit sin, simply lest we lose some worldly advantage or incur some worldly inconvenience. Is that why we fear? Do we fear to commit sin just because we're going to lose some worldly advantage? Or because sin has consequences, it just brings hurt. And so we just fear because we don't want to cause trouble. We could fear to commit sin simply because hell's torments are due to it. Fear to commit sin, lest we should lose the happiness of heaven. The less we sin down here, the happier we're going to be in heaven. Or fear to commit sin only and entirely because we dread to offend the God whom we love with all our hearts. That's the true motivation for keeping ourselves pure. Only and entirely because we dread to offend the one whom we love with all our hearts, that God is our Father. We don't want to grieve our Father, disappoint him. Who is the man that desires life and loves many days that he may see good? And obedience to God brings the highest blessing. Can't be more blessed when you're completely obedient to God. God is not withholding things. Like, God wants to give you life and life abundantly. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. This I want to focus on for a few minutes, because David really messed up at this point. When he went to the priest, you remember in 1 Samuel 21, and David lied, and he was deceitful to the priest. The priest thought something was up. It was weird that David was going to him alone, and David said to Ahimelech the priest, "The king has commanded me a business and said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee." And David lied about that. Of course, he wasn't on the king's business. He was running away from the king. And it really put Ahimelech in a really tough situation. And I want to look at just the consequences of that deceitfulness, and that position that David put Ahimelech, the priest, in. I think if we go to the next chapter in 1 Samuel 22, we see how the consequence of lying is, and so sometimes Christians lie. Christians can lie. And I want to just, if we fear God, we tell the truth, no matter if it's going to be inconvenient for us. Sometimes we lie just because it's going to make our lives easier. I feel like that would be probably a reason why I would lie. Because things would go a lot smoother, and I'd get myself out of a little bit of a jam. And so, but it's important to tell the truth, and live with the consequences of the truth, and just trust God. That's right. That's the right thing to do. And keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Saul is seeking David. He's trying to find David. And it's mentioned that Doeg was there at the meeting with David and Ahimelech the priest. And so Doeg speaks up in verse 9 of 1 Samuel 22 and says that he saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob and met with Ahimelech. And so Saul calls for Ahimelech, And Saul said to him in verse 13, and Saul said to him, why have you conspired against me and the son of Jesse, that you have given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait at this day? And Ahimelech answered the king and said, who is so faithful among the servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goes at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house? As far as Ahimelech knew, that David was on the king's business, because that's what David told him. But, and that's what he just relays, and he's just in a difficult situation, and basically, Saul doesn't buy it, and verse 17, Saul said to the footmen that stood about him, turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand is also with David. And it turns out that Doeg the Edomite ended up slaying the entire priesthood, 85 people, except for one. And David would say in verse 22, David said to Abiathar, who's the last one that survived, I knew that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons in thy father's house. David admitted that he had some fault to play. He was at fault in some way because he put the priest in a jam. Anyway, the consequences of lying cause a lot of damage. Our lips can cause a lot of damage, but they also can be used for great good, our mouths and tongues. And in Matthew 12:26, Jesus would say, we're accountable for every idle word that we speak. And Colossians 4:6, let our speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that we may know how to answer every man. Does that not put the fear of God into you when you're accountable for every word, every idle word that you speak? Verse 14, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And we want to mention here about that holiness is not just about not doing the bad things, but actively pursuing good things. And is it true, Chad, is the best way to weed is to have a good crop? Is the best way to weed is to have a good crop? Yeah. I read that. So, to actively be doing good things, we know we're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's not just good enough that we don't do any hurt. A vineyard worker at the end of a day to say that, oh, I didn't do any hurt, I didn't cause harm, what good is that? Like, what good did he do today? And I thought about, like, well, we do a good deed every day, we're okay, right? Like, as long as we do one good deed a day, then God will accept me. Like, what is that? Like, who came up with that? And but God requires 100% perfection and to always only be doing good. The eyes of the Lord, verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Would you rather have God's eye on you, the eyes of the Lord on you, and his ears open to your cry? I trust that you desire that in your life, for that the eyes of the Lord always on you. If you don't want the eyes of the Lord on you, then you can choose to reject Christ. That's a reason to fear the Lord, isn't it? Is that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Of course, righteousness is imputed to us by grace. Through the Lord Jesus' work on the cross. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. In verse 16, The face of the Lord is against those that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth, those that don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The face of the Lord is against those that don't trust in him. It's a fearful thing to have no relationship with God, and that we're not all just children of God because we're human beings. We're not all God's beloved children because we're human, and that we need to be born again. We need life from above. We need new life. And that's why Jesus came to save us, to give us new life, to give us resurrection life. Verse 17, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Verse 18, the Lord is near unto them that who have a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. I'd like to just read a few verses in Psalm 51:17 and other places. I'll just read them to you. Let the word of God speak for itself. The sacrifices of God are of a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Psalm 147, verse 3. He heals the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. Isaiah 57:15. Thus says the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Psalm 66, verse 2. For all those things my hand has made, and all those things have been, says the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and contrite spirit and trembles at my word. Yes, to have an attitude of a broken and contrite heart for salvation. We all need that. We all need to come to the end of ourselves for salvation. But as we grow in the Lord, for sanctification, for becoming more like him, for obedience, we need to have this spirit on a continual basis as Christians. Because one of the verses comes to mind is, as you receive the Lord with this attitude, so walk ye in him. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. This is something you don't hear often. And that if you receive the Lord, you've got a bullseye on you, and you're going to get afflictions. Many are the afflictions. It's a lot harder to be a Christian and to obey the Lord than to not, and just eat, drink, and be merry and not care. The path of a Christian is hard. It's more difficult. I was going to say, but Wayne said, never say I think when you're up here. So the word says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. We can think of the Apostle Paul. I'd like to read a few verses in 2 Timothy 3:10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. In 2 Timothy 4:16, 18, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Sometimes the Lord will deliver you through death and that he's on the other side of death waiting. The Lord delivers through resurrection. People die for trusting in the Lord. But the Lord is on the other side. He's going to receive those that give their lives for him. Jesus rose from the dead. And he will raise all those that trust in him to be with him. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Verse 21, evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be condemned. And I thought of the verse, evil shall slay the wicked. Like, you're condemning yourself if you don't trust in Jesus. And if you practice sin, and it says evil shall slay the wicked. I always think of Romans 6 sometimes, and it says, what fruit had you when you did those things which you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Sometimes we feel like maybe taking the easy way out and just giving up, and we know that would be disobedience to the Lord, but just giving up and just sin. And it may have momentary relief and pleasure, but in the end, you end up living a life. I know someone, life of guilt, pain, and sorrow. I know someone that there's a woman that give up on a woman that would give up on a marriage and about 20, I don't know how many, this was 30 years, and she's still regretting and tormented by the guilt of the. Of what she did. How could she do that? Leaving her kids and it may be think that's the right thing to do at the time, like going your own way and just going contrary to God's will for the sake it might be, think it might be easier or give some temporary relief or even willfully sinning to have momentary pleasure. But the pleasure gets cut off, and you end up with guilt, and you hurt relationships. You condemn yourself. These things are not good. Evil shall slay the wicked. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, though none of them that trust in him shall be condemned. If you trust in Jesus, if you really believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it says you shall be saved. And that God would actually be unrighteous to condemn those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. None of those that trust in him will be condemned. There's no condemnation for those that trust in Jesus. Saved forever if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, thank you for your word, for promising that you hear us and you deliver us from all of our troubles. Father, help us to realize the blessing and privilege it is to have a relationship with the living God. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ that took away our sin, that he dealt with sin on the cross, and we have a relationship with you because and only because of the Lord Jesus Christ, not because of anything that we've done, but because you are gracious, loving Heavenly Father. We're grateful this evening and pray for your word to be blessed to each one, and that we may walk in obedience with you and help us, lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil, Father. We pray in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen.